If you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 4, we're going to be looking at this chapter for our lesson this morning. While you're turning there, I want to mention that this afternoon, Lord willing, we're going to be doing a lesson. It was a topic that was requested, and also one that I had intended to do, put a lesson together, and then it was requested, so I moved it to the top of my list, is a lesson on what the Bible says about suicide, which is a sensitive topic. It's one that a lot of people have questions about. So this afternoon, we're going to be studying that topic and what the Bible has to say about that. So if you're able to come back, I would hope you'd come back this afternoon and study that with us. This morning, what we're going to be looking at is a lesson here from John chapter 4. Here in this chapter, we see in verse 35 a statement that we remember, or at least part of the statement is familiar to us. John 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." In this chapter, Jesus up to this point had been speaking with a woman from Samaria at a well that was outside of the city there. And as a result of this conversation, she came to learn, as verse 25 and 26 talk about, she came to learn that he was the Messiah. She goes and she tells others that he was about Jesus and who he was. In verse 29, she says, "Come see a man who has told me all the things I've done. This is not the Christ, is it?" And then you have at the end of this chapter, in verses 41 and 42, that many believed because of his word, and that people were coming and hearing Jesus. They were learning about him. They were believing in him. So this chapter, we see that Jesus is saying, well, the fields are white for harvest. There were a lot of people who were open and receptive to hearing about Jesus. Well, how did it get to the point where Jesus was able to say that the fields were white for harvest? How was it that there came to be many who were interested in what he had to say and were open to the truth? This began with Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well here in Samaria. And when we think about what transpired here in this chapter, there are some lessons that we can learn that relate to our efforts in what we usually call personal evangelism. That we recognize as Christians that we have a responsibility to be involved in this, but sometimes we don't know really where to start or what we are to do. And so because we're uncertain as to how we get started doing this, we tend to just sit back and not do anything and not make any attempt because we just don't know how to do it. Here in John chapter 4, when we look at Jesus and what he did, he provides us with a model with how we can get started in the work of personal evangelism. We can learn from Jesus and how he interacted with this woman to provide us with insight as to what we can do in trying to teach the lost and lead people to the Lord today. And so I want us to, in this lesson, look at this chapter and highlight some things that we see with Jesus as we apply it to our own lives. And we think, well, how can we lead people to the truth? How can we direct people to Christ? Where this woman, she was directing people after her conversation with Jesus. She was directing people to him. The fields were white for harvest. How can we find that person like her that once we get her interested will lead to more people being interested? And we can also see the fields being white for harvest. What happened in this chapter that we can learn from? Well, the first thing that we see here in John chapter 4, the first lesson from Jesus is that we need to look for opportunities in everyday situations. We see here in John chapter 4 and verse 3, that he left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from the journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. This is where Jesus met the woman He had this conversation with her at the well, that she went to the city. Other people came to listen to Jesus after this. But notice what was going on here. He was traveling through Samaria on his way to Galilee. A lot of times when we think about evangelism, we think about it in terms of some big plan or some big program that we're going to enact, that this is what we're going to do in order to reach the lost. And there's nothing wrong with big plans and programs as long as they are something that has been authorized in the scriptures. Sometimes you have churches and people be involved in things that go beyond what is authorized. We do need to do everything in word or deed in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3:17 says. But as long as it's within the bounds of what is authorized, there's nothing wrong with having some big program where we're involved in that. But what is a lot of times can be more effective is when individuals reach out and talk to the people that they already know. These could be friends, they could be family members, co-workers, neighbors, people that we are already interacting with, that we are going about our everyday life. As we interact with people in our daily affairs, there will be opportunities that will come along for us to talk about the gospel. And we need to be looking for these opportunities. Notice again with Jesus here, what it says there in these verses, verses 3 through 6. He was in Judea. He was going to Galilee. And he just had to pass through Samaria. This wasn't an evangelistic mission to Samaria. He was traveling through Samaria. While he was there, he stopped to rest, and while he was resting, this woman came, he had a conversation with her, and that's where all of this started. And so, while he was there, he took advantage of this opportunity. And so, when we think about personal evangelism, this is not necessarily about us, well, we're going to set aside this time for us to be involved in personal evangelism. If you want to set aside some time, that's fine. But this is about just being involved in personal evangelism. Don't limit yourself to say, well, I'm going to do it on this point. Well, don't limit it to that. This is something that we do every day, in every situation. We are looking for opportunities to talk to people about spiritual things. As we go about our daily normal activities, use those times to look for opportunities to talk to people. Because again, Jesus, he was traveling. And he just happened to stop to rest at this place. This woman came out and he used that opportunity to talk with her. These opportunities can come up when we are at work, when we're talking to neighbors, when we're going to a store, or we're interacting with people that we come in contact with. These opportunities can come at any time. And so we need to be looking for these opportunities to talk to people about spiritual things in everyday situations. The next thing, next lesson we learn from Jesus here in this chapter is that we need to be open to talking with anyone. Notice what it says here in verse 9. It says, therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. When this woman came out to the well where Jesus had stopped to rest, he asked her for a drink, and this caught her off guard. And so she asked, well, why are you asking me for this? And John gives the parenthetical statement there at the end of the verse, explaining why she was caught off guard by this question. It says, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This was not something that a Jewish man, as he was traveling through Samaria, he wouldn't have wanted to have any dealings with this woman or with any of the other Samaritans in this place. But Jesus, he was willing to talk to her. On top of that, you look at verse 27 of this chapter, the disciples came back, and it says there, they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why do you speak with her? A couple things about this interaction that were unusual. Number one, Jesus as a Jew was talking to a Samaritan. And number two, Jesus as a man was talking to this woman here on this occasion, and having a open conversation with her. And so these were both barriers that other people would have used to say, well, If I'm a Jew, I'm not going to talk to a Samaritan. Or another may have said, well, I'm a man, I'm not going to talk to this woman here on this occasion. And regardless of which way they were going about it, they were looking at themselves as being better than the others, than the other, whether it's man, woman, or Jew and Samaritan. And so that other person there is not worth my time and not worth my attention, and I'm not going to talk to them. Jesus spoke with her anyway. Even though she was a Samaritan, even though she was a woman, Jesus was going to talk to her anyway. Sometimes we are tempted to refrain from talking to people or different types of people for various reasons. Because it could be because of fear, it could be a culture difference, it could be stereotypes that we have, that you have someone who is a different race, like you have here with the Jews and Samaritans. It could be someone who is a different social class than we belong to. Someone looks differently than we do. Someone, because of the different things that we see about them, their body language, the clothing that they wear, the tattoos that they have, whatever it might be, we think, well, that person's not going to be interested in spiritual things. That person's not going to want to talk to them. I don't want to talk to them. And so I'm just going to let it go. Now, we need to be willing to talk to anyone. As we see about this woman here, we're going to notice she wasn't of the highest moral character to begin with, but Jesus was willing to talk to her on this occasion because she was one who needed to learn about the Messiah. She was one who needed to learn about these things. And everyone today is someone who needs to learn about Christ. No matter what they've done in the past, no matter what their current situation is now, they are someone who needs to learn about Christ. And so it could be that they are obviously in some sin. It could be that they have obviously made some choices in their life that have been undesirable and have put them in a place that they shouldn't be in. Or it could simply be other factors as well that are not sinful in themselves, that someone is just of a different race or wears different types of clothes than we do, or whatever it might be, that we think, well, that person's poor, they're not going to be interested. That person's rich, they're not going to be interested. We can take all of that out and look at what Jesus did here with this woman. He was willing to talk to her. We need to be willing to talk to anyone, regardless of any of these other factors that might tempt us to say, well, I shouldn't talk to that person because of I don't want to deal with what other people might think if I talk to that person. Or I just don't think that person is going to be interested. We learn in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, when Peter went to the household of Cornelius, he recognized that God is not one to show partiality. In every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. We should not show partiality either, because we're trying to get people to the point where they would fear God and do what is right. So we need to be willing to talk to anyone, just as Jesus was on this occasion. We also, this is an important step here, we need to, as we talk with people and we interact with people, we need to direct the conversation towards spiritual things. That it is good to be friendly and to be open and willing to talk to anyone. Some people that comes more naturally than others. Some people have to work on being more open and outgoing. But regardless of whether that comes natural to you or it's more of a struggle to you, it is good to be open and willing to talk and interact with anyone. But simply being willing to talk to people and being friendly to people is not going to save anyone. The gospel, Romans 1:16 tells us, is the power of God for salvation. And so if we're going to have success in trying to lead people to Christ, at some point it goes beyond just, well, I'm going to be friendly, I'm going to be open, and I'm going to be nice and respectful and interested in people. It goes beyond that. We have to be willing to talk about spiritual things. Notice what it says here in John chapter 4. You have Jesus talking to this woman. He already talked about the water, the living water that he offered. Of course, this would be something that she probably wouldn't understand. And you have in verse 16, Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' and you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. So again, as I said earlier, this woman was not necessarily of the highest moral character. She had been married several times. She was with a man now that was not her husband. But Jesus, he says, to, you know, call your husband. She answers that she doesn't have a husband. Jesus does something that we're not able to do, and so we need to recognize that. We cannot know the background of everyone that we talk to like he was able to do. But notice what he does here. He makes this statement that causes her to say in verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And so by telling her to call your husband, that was enough to get her to think about spiritual things. That, well, you're a prophet. And so Jesus wasn't the first one to talk about the next topic, about worship. She asked the question about worship. But Jesus made a statement in such a way that prompted her to ask a question about worship. She says in verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you people," referring to the Jews, "say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." She had a question about this. And so what we see with Jesus here is by trying to direct the conversation in a certain way, he directed this toward spiritual things. She had a question about worship. Jesus didn't bring up worship, but she had a question about this, and by making it clear that he was a prophet, for us that may be making it clear that we are a Christian, making it clear that we consider the Bible to be the inspired word of God, that we put God's law ahead of man's law. There are many ways that this could happen, but by making it clear of who we are, as Jesus made it clear to this woman that he was, at the very least, a prophet, she asked about this question about worship. Now, again, we cannot know people's hearts as Jesus did, but we can do things to spark an interest in them or provoke them to ask us questions about spiritual things, whether it's in conversations, talking about how God blesses us, talking about reading the Bible, talking about attending church services. When people ask you, "Well, how was your weekend?" Well, that's an opportunity to talk about how you went to worship services and how you did this or that. That's a lot of people, when they ask, "Well, how was your weekend?" they're thinking about, "Well, what fun things did you do this weekend? What did you do that was unusual?" We don't have to say what was unusual about our weekend. We can tell them about what was normal about our weekend. We can tell them what we do every weekend is that we assembled with the church. We worshiped God. We did that. Whenever we bring these things into conversations, last week we talked about some lessons from the parable of the sower. And sometimes it takes persistence because people aren't interested right now, or at least a lot of people aren't interested right now. They're like the roadside soil, where you plant the seed and then the birds of the air come and take it away. They're not interested in that right now. And maybe it takes us bringing these things up consistently, because right now they don't care that you went to church services on a Sunday. But maybe a year from now, that neighbor or that coworker or that family member that you're talking to, something happens in their life and something causes them to think, and they know that you are one who puts these things as an importance, takes these things seriously. Put these things in conversations. Learn to place these things in there to direct conversations toward spiritual things. Where a woman like this woman asks the question, "Well, what about worshiping in this mountain versus worshiping in Jerusalem? Or what about these churches that are now teaching this about same-sex marriage? Or what about these churches that believe this about one thing or this about another?" And then we have an opportunity, we have an open door to talk about what the scriptures teach. And so direct conversations toward spiritual things, either by you can directly talk about these things or by putting conversation starters in place where they bring up the question, well, what about this? And then we have the opportunity then to answer those questions. When we do that, when these questions come up, when we talk about spiritual things, one thing that we need to be doing that's important is that we need to contrast God's way and man's way. This is what Jesus did. She asked the question, well, what about worship? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and then the Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. And Jesus said in verse 21, woman, believe me, an hour is coming where neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus said here that her question was, well, is it right to worship in this mountain, or is it right to worship in Jerusalem, or are both acceptable to worship? And people have questions like that. Is this right, or is that right, or are both of them the same? Jesus answered her question by saying that there is God's way, and God's way is what we are to follow. That an hour is coming, and now is, where those who are the true worshipers, it doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter what location they're in. They're going to be gathered together to worship God in spirit and truth. And so he answered her question, and by answering her question, said that there is God's way, and it's different from what the Samaritans had done. It's different from what the Jews are currently doing, because that was going to be taken out of the way. And so he made a contrast between God's way and man's way. He spoke of true worshipers here. Because we have in our society is filled with people who believe that truth is subjective. That we cannot say that one thing is right and another thing is wrong, especially in matters of religion. That you can't say that this is right and this is wrong, or this church over here teaches that and that's wrong, or this church practices this and that's wrong. Or a lot of people want to say that well, anything that anyone does in the name of religion, that must be right. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 that we are to destroy speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of Christ, because we want to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There are a lot of arguments out there and a lot of things that have been raised up that prevent people from obeying Christ. So Paul said we need to take those out of the way. We need to destroy those arguments and show that there is a difference between those ways that are contrary to the truth and what God has said in his word. We need to be ready to point out the difference between God's way and man's way in the realm of worship, like they were talking about here, or in salvation, or in what the Lord's church looks like compared with what the churches of man looks like. One reason why we're doing our study on church history on Wednesday evenings is to be able to recognize and be able to show people the difference between the Lord's church and the churches that men have come up with. Now, obviously in all this, we do this in a way where we are speaking the truth in love, as Ephesians 4:15 says. Just as Jesus was doing here, he was speaking the truth in love, but he was also not compromising or making it to where she didn't understand the point that he was making. He was very clear about his point. And so if we're going to be involved in this work of personal evangelism, we do have to make a contrast between God's way and man's way. And then finally, what we see with Jesus here is that if we're going to be involved in this work, we have to point people to Christ. Jesus did this simply by explaining to her that he was the Messiah. Verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Jesus was able to show her the Christ by simply explaining who he was and introducing himself as the Messiah, as the Christ. we do this, we point people to Christ by leading them to Him and to a knowledge of Him. Because salvation is only in Christ. Acts 4 and verse 12 says that there is salvation in no one else. And there's no other name among heaven, under heaven, among men, by which we must be saved. And so we are to point people to Christ and lead people to Him. And so when we think about this work of trying to lead people to the truth, lead people to the gospel, point people to Christ, there are a lot of ways that we can feel intimidated in doing this and feel like we are unqualified to do this or that we don't really know how to go about doing this. We need to remember Jesus' example. Remember how He interacted with this woman that He met at the well in Samaria. Learn from Him. Look for opportunities in everyday situations. Talk to anyone that is open and willing to talk to us. And as we talk to them, as we interact with them, direct the conversation to spiritual things. Show the difference between God's way and man's way, and ultimately point people to Christ. What happened as a result of this in verse 39, from that city many of the Samaritans believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of His word. This is what happened as a result of this interaction with this woman, and then this woman going in verse 29, "Come see a man who told me all things I've done. This is not the Christ, is it?" We won't always have this type of response, but our responsibility is not to secure that type of response. We plant and water, and we allow God to cause the growth. And sometimes that growth is going to come after we are no longer around, after we're not involved in the work in this area, or we have passed on from this life, or whatever it is. Notice what Jesus said in verse 36, right after He said the fields are white for harvest. He says in verse 36, "Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." So we are involved in this work. We may be planting the seed that we don't ever see the fruit from it. Other people may come along and see that person that we've been talking to, see that person be converted. Or we could find people that other people have been talking to, other Christians have been planting the seed with them, and then we, through our interactions, may be the one who helps lead them to the truth. But regardless of how it works out, we don't need to focus so much on the results, the end results, but instead focus on our responsibility to plant the seed, to do this work, whether we're reaping or sowing, to do this work of helping to spread the gospel to others. This is something that each one of us can do, that all Christians are able to be involved in this work. And it can be as simple as what we see here with Jesus in John chapter 4. How He took this random meeting with this woman at a well outside of the city there in the region of Samaria. Took a random, by chance, meeting with her. And it led to all of these good results that came from it. We need to be looking for these opportunities and trying to do all that we can to help reach others with the truth, with the gospel. Because salvation is in Christ and only in Christ. And that's also the reason why, as we close a lesson like this, we extend the Lord's invitation to any who need to respond to it. Salvation is in Christ and only in Christ. And if you are not yet a Christian, we would hope that you would become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and are willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you could be baptized to have your sins washed away. And if you've done that and have failed to live up to that standard that the Lord has provided for us, you have sin in your life as a Christian, then you need to repent of that and pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. And if we could help you in any way, We invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.